Good morning. And it really has been a very momentous 2 weeks, hasn't it? This reading I'm going to read is from James chapter 2. James is near the back of the Bible. And as you know, we've been doing a series about Christian living. And this was actually our set lesson for last week. But of course, naturally, we changed things last week. It was very necessary to do that. But this is a very interesting reading for this time. And we decided we would share it today. Paul is going to preach in a few minutes. And we brought this reading to our house group on Monday night. I know some of them are here having a smile at me. And after I read it, I posed the question, what does that say to you about the Queen? And we had some very interesting comments, which I'll share a little bit with you a bit later. But think on that as I read this reading. Think on our Queen, but also think on what God might be saying to you today through this reading. So, James chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds." Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish people, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. This is the word of the Lord. Well, tomorrow we're going to lay our lovely Queen to rest, aren't we? That amazing woman that we are giving thanks for today and every day. A woman of faith, integrity, humility. A woman who served her Lord right to the very end, didn't she? What an amazing, amazing queen we have had for 70 years. And we just want to give thanks and tribute to her this morning and thank God for her, because we know she knew him. Now, Paul's going to come and share a little bit of his thoughts about the Queen, and then he'll talk about the passage, and then perhaps I can come back and say a bit more later. Paul, over to you.
Many people have commented on how gracious the Queen always was and how down to earth she really was. The Archbishop of Canterbury said that those who met the Queen were always struck by her ability to make them feel as if they were the only person in the room, in the crowd, in the street. One of her security officers, now retired, commented on being present at several informal meals at, I think it was Balmoral, including a barbecue, where she insisted that she was going to do the washing up. I can't imagine the Queen washing up, but nevertheless, this is what she did. She herself said, "I have been and remain very grateful for your prayers, and to God for his steadfast love. She made a strong connection between Jesus the servant king and her own role. She's truly been a wonderful servant queen. And of course, genuine and true faith will produce actions in line with the kingdom of God, and that was certainly so for the queen. To come to our reading this morning from the letter of James, this is James, the brother of Jude and Simon and Joseph and of Jesus the Christ. The Acts of the Apostles tells us that he was the early leader of the church in Jerusalem. And at the Council of Jerusalem, he spoke up very forcibly to say what should happen next. So after Peter and after Paul and Barnabas had spoken, James stood up. "Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God." And he goes on a little bit more. Those are words of wisdom and words of authority. And as we read his letter, we see that same wisdom and authority displayed. So if you want to turn to page 1266, you will find our reading there. And in verse 14, he starts off by saying this: "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him?" A challenge to them. He goes on for an example. "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about it, his physical needs, what good is it?" That's common sense, isn't it? You wouldn't send somebody away if they came to you in great need. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. And then imagine somebody's response. "But someone will say, 'You've got faith, I've got deeds.' I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that. You foolish man. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless?" And then he turns to the Old Testament. So firstly, he talks about Abraham, and his life story takes up the middle chapters of the book of Genesis and gives us a wonderful account of faith in actions from beginning to end. He and his family went where God told them to go. They trusted in God to provide. He and Sarah trusted in God to provide them with a son, even though they were past the time when you would normally have a child. When God called upon him to sacrifice his son Isaac, his heir, he was obedient, until we read, "But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham.' 'Here I am,' he replied. 'Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.' Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram, and he was able to sacrifice the lamb. And there in that place he called it, 'The Lord will provide.' And to this day it is said, 'On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided.'" That sounds to me like faith accompanied by action. The story of Rahab is told in Joshua in chapter 2, an abbreviated version. The Israelites were about to take possession of the promised land, but Moses' successor Joshua wanted to spy out the land So he sent two men to spy out the city of Jericho. They ended up in the house of Rahab, alternatively known as a prostitute or an innkeeper, take your choice. She knew the reputation of the God of Israel, and whether it was an act of faith or of self-preservation, she decided to help the spies and she hid them. When the Israelite conquerors took over the city, she hung outside of her window what was agreed, a scarlet scarf. And when they came, everybody in her household was kept safe. She had enabled the spies to get out of the city by climbing out of her window on a rope. And when the king's men had come and challenged her, she'd sent them the wrong way and confused them. Now, Rachel could have taken several different actions, couldn't she? She could have refused to have anything to do with the spies and done nothing. She could have turned against them and renounced them to the king. But she was given an inkling of faith in God and decided that she should act on it, saving the lives of the spies and later her own family as Joshua and the Israelites conquered the land. Again, faith and actions working together. Today, our colleagues in Church Army provide many examples of faith and actions working together as they serve alongside the poorest and the most marginalised communities in the United Kingdom and Ireland. Their motto is to share faith through words and actions, and they certainly do that. Do you remember the nursery rhyme about Little Jack Horner? I think it goes, Little Jack Horner sat in a corner eating his Christmas pie. He put in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, what a good boy am I. And that was it. He sat in his corner. God doesn't want nursery rhyme faith. He doesn't want people who are sitting in their corner and doing nothing and saying, what a good boy am I because I believe in Jesus Christ, or a good girl. And I hope his people don't want that as well. Jesus, speaking in Matthew in chapter 25, talks about the sheep, he talks about the goats, and he challenges us about our behaviour and how we care for each other. So in verse 34, he says this, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in, and I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you like this? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whether you did whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. It is kingdom work to serve the Lord our God. It's important to realize that we do not earn salvation by our deeds or actions or our words. Salvation comes by the mercy of God through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, upon the cross of Calvary. There he dealt once and for all with all sin, with death, with the devil. And as we call upon him in faith to forgive us and to come to live within us, he grants us new life, just as he had new life through his resurrection. And he grants us entry into the kingdom of God, heaven on earth. And that's available for us now. If you don't know that, please come and talk to one of us after the service. And then, having become a Christian, God's Holy Spirit works within us and begins to change us little by little by little into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our desire to serve him increases, and his Spirit guides us and enables us and equips us to do his work in his world. This is why people in our church and Christians all over the world serve in the church and the community. Sally and Phil and Beryl and David and Sheila and John and everybody else, you and me are called to serve as servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. The list of people is endless as ordinary people become extraordinary Christians, servants of God, putting their faith into action through the power of the Holy Spirit with the authority of the name of Jesus and to the glory of our loving Heavenly Father. James ends this passage with verse 26. He says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Let each one of us trust in God for life in all its fullness. And let us serve him in the church and in the community, in his world, day by day by day.
Still thinking about the Queen in that passage, as well as yourself and the challenges God gives us. The first person who spoke said this. They said, the Queen said in her Jubilee speech in 1975 that the smallest act of kindness to anybody makes a difference. And that's the Queen speaking. The smallest act of kindness, however small, makes a difference. The Queen had a deep faith in Jesus Christ. He was her Lord and Saviour. And because she knew Jesus was with her and his Holy Spirit was guiding her every day, she was able to be the person that she was. She told us many times that Almighty God was her strength every day. In 1947, when she was 21, she spoke. We've heard that a few times, haven't we? I won't read the whole thing out. What she said was, I'll serve you with God's help all my life. So at the end of that speech, the Queen said, may God make good my vow. She did it, didn't she? God made good her vow. I don't know if you remember this book. It came out on her 90th birthday. It's called The Servant Queen and the King She Serves. Just read a couple of little bits. If you haven't read this book for a while and you've got it, do read it. It's absolutely wonderful book about the Queen, about what she does, about her faith. She said this in 1978. Christians have the compelling example of the life and teaching of Christ. And for myself, I would like nothing more than my grandchildren should hold dear his ideals, which have helped and inspired so many generations. And then in 2012, she said this, God sent his only son to serve, not to be served. He restored love and service to the center of our lives in the person of Jesus Christ. The Queen couldn't do what we've done this morning. She couldn't stand up and preach, could she? She wasn't able to do that. But she showed her love for God, her commitment to God, by who she was, by what she did, by what she said. And she did it always. There was such a sense of sincerity and love within her as she spoke, as she ministered, as she worked among her people. I don't know if you heard the speech or read the speech that Michael Farren made in the House of Commons this week, or was this week or last week? It's a very good speech, so if you can read it, find it and read it. But in it he said this: "For 70 years we've sung 'God Save the Queen' to the Queen. God has saved the Queen. She's safe with him now, today. We would say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen."